A very good evening to all the brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank our Lord for giving this wonderful opportunity to study His wonderful words of life. Last week, we studied about, you see, the continuation of the chapter about church, the true church. Who is the true church? We saw it is a little flock, and we also saw its number. Can anybody tell me what is the number of the little flock?
One lakh forty-four thousand.
So these will be the people who are going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. So the real faithful Christians are these people. So the Lord is looking at these people in the gospel age. So last week we saw that many are called, so few are chosen. And we saw the faithful class. So it is not only that we be of the called class. It is not only that we make ourselves of the chosen class. It is very, very and more important to be of that faithful class. And that faithful class is 1,44,000. So if you see, the 1,44,000 seems to be a very small number. But you see, if you compare and take the analysis, in 2023 years, it's like selecting 71% per year. That means almost 6 persons per month. That means almost a week, every person is being selected. So there is a lot of opportunity. A lot of vacancies are there. So you might think, in 2000 years, this class is not selected. Yes, this seems to be so. But you see, yeah, that is a very, very precious position and a very important position. And still vacancy are there means that clearly proves that not all who are called can make the calling list, sure. But they can put their efforts. If they are faithful, definitely God will definitely give the reward. Just because nobody is there, God won't give the reward to anybody else. See, until God finds the faithful class, this door will still be open. So, we can see that is it the only class of people who are going to go to heaven? Because we saw last time that many are called, few are chosen. But among the chosen, it is only the few people, the 1,44,000 who are faithful. But what about the rest of the people? You see, many consecrate their life, many devote their life to the Lord, saying that I will do thy will. But many fall back. So, only few people will win the prize. So, what about the rest of the people? You see, so is there any other class if you see? Yes, there is another class of people who go to heaven. You see the divine plan chart, there is a small pyramid box that is called M below that category N. So, last time we saw the category N, but today we're going to see about the category M. Who are these? So, these are the consecrated people, but who lack faithfulness to God. So this one in the Bible is called as the great multitude. So the great multitude, you see, the innumerable company who consecrate their life to God. And that is given to us in Revelation 7 chapter. So let us read Revelation 7, 9. Anil Badar, can you read Revelation 7, 9?
After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, all kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands.
Very good, brother. So, after this, I behold, after the selection of the lakh and 44,000, I behold the great multitude which no man can number of all the nations of the earth. Simsa. So, who are this great multitude? Why they can't be numbered? You see, does it mean that God himself cannot number also? No. You see, the innumerable company whom no man can number signifies the unlimited consecration. Even if the whole world comes to consecrate their life to God, in this gospel age, God would never stop them. But there will be a reward only for 144,000 who are in likeness of Christ. Therefore, the no man can number means it's unlimited consecration. Anybody can consecrate, you see, and devote the life, sacrifice the life to the Lord. You see, therefore it says, these are before the throne. You see, putting the white robes. Why they are standing before the throne? What is the Lord promised to the faithful class? You see, the faithful class are promised to sit on the throne along with Jesus. Not that they stand before the throne. So read Revelation 3.21. Revelation 3.21. Joel, brother, can you read Revelation 3.21?
To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome, and I am set down with my Father in his throne.
Very good. So, you see, what did the Lord promise? To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. Not that you're going to stand before the throne. So, you see, what do you say? Sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame. So, therefore, brethren, there is a difference between these two class of people. You see, so for the faithful overcoming class, they will be given an opportunity, you see, where? To sit with the Lord on the throne. But these people are standing before the throne means what? That means they lost the opportunity to sit on the throne with our Lord. That means they're standing before the throne means what? So who will be standing before the throne? The one who will be sitting on the throne or the king and the princess? But one will be standing, you see, before the throne. These are the servants class, dear brethren. These are, can't be rulers, but they will be servant class. Therefore, overcoming is important. So what do you mean by overcoming? That means, is there no obstacle in the life? No. There will be a lot of obstacles, dear brethren. Lot of trouble, lot of pain, lot of sorrow, lot of trials. You see, from all the angles, there will be a lot of pressure. But the little flock will overcome all these things. Why? For the Lord's sake, they will lay down their life for everything. You see, for they will be ready to sacrifice everything for the Lord. You see, did not Jesus have trouble in his life? He had so much of trouble. He had so much of pain. You see, but that was not because of sin and sickness, but because in the service of the Lord. The way he lived a holy life, he suffered so many persecutions. He had so many hurdles in his life and all. But he overcame. How did Jesus overcome? Jesus never overcame grumblingly. He overcame, you see, voluntarily. That is the difference, dear brethren, between the great multitude and 144,000 little flock. The little flock, they cheerfully endure all these things voluntarily. They seek opportunities to serve the Lord voluntarily. They sacrifice everything for the Lord voluntarily. But the great multitude, they do everything grumblingly. You see, little bit, what they sacrifice, you see, grumblingly do it. They don't do it voluntarily, but only when they are forced to do it, they will do it. That is the reason they will lose the crown, dear brethren. Therefore, you see, we all have sacrificed. We all have made a covenant with the Lord that I'll offer my body as a sacrifice. So we have to offer. We have to leave our talk. But the people who don't leave the talk, you see, these are the people who will lose their crown. You see, they don't lay down their life. What does Jesus say? If any man wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, lay down his life, carry the cross, you see, take responsibility for Christ's sake and follow him and be followers of Jesus daily, carrying the cross daily, dear brethren. Therefore, lot of, you see, obstacles will come. These need to be overcome. So what are the obstacles? Let us read Romans 8 chapter 35 to 37. Romans 8 chapter 35 to 37. Munna sister, can you read?
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Yes, these are the things. You see, these are the tribulations that will come in our life, which will try to separate us from the love of Christ. You know, what will the faithful little flock do? They will cling on to the love of Christ, dear brethren. Any tribulation, any distress, let it be financial, mental, you say health issues, you see, let it be anything, or persecutions, famine, no food, no proper food, no proper standard in the society, nakedness, even though there is no proper clothing or homes to stay, they will remain faithful to the Lord. Perils, sports, you see, they take risk for the Lord, you see. That's what he says now. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. That is living sacrifice, dear brethren. Daily, all the day long, to be killed for the Lord. How? That we need to be accounted as slaughter, a sheep for the slaughter. That's what Jesus did, no? Jesus was taken to the slaughter as a sheep. He kept dumb. It never opened his mouth. Isn't it, dear brethren? That is how he did the Lord's will. Similarly, the difference between the great multitude and the little flock. You see, yeah, they are more than conquerors. More than conquerors means what? Not that when something comes, they overcome. They will be waiting for the opportunity to overcome, to fight each and every obstacle, so to do the Lord's will. Then that is the character of Christ. That is what our Lord did. You see, Jesus never kept quiet. Jesus never waited. But you see, he put himself forward. You see, he laid everything backside. You see, looking forward. You see, that's how he finished his course. Therefore, the great multitude are not like this. Only when they are put into trouble, only when there is a problem, that is the time they'll seek the Lord. Otherwise, they'll be living a worldly life. Just for namesake, they'll worship God. Just for namesake, they believe in Jesus. That's all. But nothing will be from their heart. Only when there is trouble in the life, only when there is pain, sorrow, sickness, any sorts of disturbance, then only they will come to the Lord. But once the problem is solved, again they will return to the world. You see, and you see why? Because of the fear of losing something. And Satan tries to grip them in his own bondage. Read Hebrews 2:15. Hebrews 2:15. Roshan brother and Kamal sister, can you read? Is it possible for you to read? Do you have network?
Yes, brother.
Thank you, sister. How are you after so many days? Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too.
God bless.
And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
Very good, sister. See? Who? For fear of death. Fear of death means what? Fear of losing life. Just because of the fear, you see, they will try to go to bondage. Surrender to so many trials and tribulations. Then, you see, hence, what does the Revelation say? They had palm branches in their hand. What is the meaning of palm branches? You see, in the olden days, during the days of David and Jesus and all, whenever a king used to go for war, after winning the war, he used to enter the city. But while entering the city, you see, dear brethren, there the people used to welcome the warriors. People used to welcome the king after winning the war with palm branches in their hand. You see, that is how Jesus was welcomed. No, what did Jesus do when he came to Jerusalem? He came on a ass. And the people took the palm branches and cried out saying, King of Israel, Hosanna, Hosanna to the son of David. So that was a sign of victory. So let us read John 12:13. Romy sister, can you read John 12:13?
took branches of the palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna. Cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of the Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. So it's a sign of victory. So the great multitude having palm branches in their hand means what? That means they are also conquerors. They have also won. But how have they won? Only when they are put into trouble. Not voluntarily as a little flock. So only when there is pressure, that is the time they do it. You see, Devadaran? And what does he say? They were wearing white robes, it seems. What is the meaning of white robes? The same question is asked by elder. You see, let us read Revelation 7, chapter 13 to 14. Sunita, sister, can you read Revelation 7, chapter 13 to 14?
And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
See, what did the reply came? He said, these are they which have come out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made white. In how? In great tribulation. So what is the meaning of this one? Why they have washed their robes in the great tribulation? What is this robe? What was the problem in the robe? Why did it become dirty? And why did they, you see, wash with the blood of lamb? And when? In great tribulation. What is this tribulation? Dear brethren, you know, we all know a robe in the Bible means the righteousness. You see, we are all sinners before God. So we don't have any standing before God. We are all sinners. All our righteousness, you see, whatever good things we do, it is our filthy rags before our Lord. You see, we can't stand before our God. Isaiah 64, 6. Isaiah 64, 6. Brother Kamal, can you read Isaiah 64, 6? Kamal brother, you're there. Can you read? Okay. Amar brother, can you read? Isaiah 64:6.
64:6. Okay. But we are all as an unclean things, and all our righteousnesses are all are as a filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities are like the wind have taken us away.
Yeah. All our righteousness as a filthy rags. But once when we believed Jesus, what happened? God gave the robe of righteousness to us. So because of this robe of righteousness, we have standing before God. We can stand before Him. You see, what is this righteousness? This is imputed to us when we believe in Jesus. God gives us this robe of righteousness. He removes of all our sins. He cleanses us of all our sins. And He considers us as pure in Christ. Read Revelation 19:8. Revelation 19:8. Gopal brother, can you read Revelation 19:8?
And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints.
See, the fine linen is righteousness of the saints. So righteousness, how did he get to it? The Lord has given to us. Because of faith in Jesus. Isaiah 61:10. Joel brother, can you read Isaiah 61:10?
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as the bridegroom decketh himself with the ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels.
You see, huh? The robe of righteousness. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments. You see, God has given us his righteousness. So, it is white, white robe. So, white robe means what? A white shirt. Huh? We should keep it neat and clean. Huh? But, as we are living in this world, what will happen to this robe? Small, small spots will come here and there, black spots. How? Whenever we are in the world, if we sin in our thoughts, if we sin in our words, if we sin in our action, a spot comes naturally on that robe of righteousness. You see? Huh? Thoughts means small will come. Words means it will be much bigger. If you put it in action, it will be much more bigger. Then what will the Lord do? So we can't go to heaven. We can't stand before the Lord with this, you see, filthy spots. So what do we need to do? Immediately we need to go to the throne of grace and mercy and cleanse it off thoroughly. You see, if you ask forgiveness from the Lord with a sincere heart, you see, with a dedicated heart, saying that it is out of weakness that we committed such things, and if you sincerely repent and turn to God, what will happen? All our sins will be washed away. That's what the Bible says. He that believe in Jesus, his sins are washed away. Means what? Not just believing, but believing it from the heart. You see? Huh? Claiming it from the heart. You see? You see? Confessing it from the heart to the Lord. You see? Not to human beings. And what happens? This will be gone away. But when should we do this cleansing? We should do it on the spot immediately. Imagine if you are wearing a white shirt, a black ink, if it falls on our shirt, or if a tea or a coffee, it falls on our shirt, what will we do? Will we wait to clean it till the end of the day? No, we will immediately rush, immediately wash it with water thoroughly. That is the way we should be with our, you see, our robe of righteousness, dear brethren. The same way, immediately, we should clean ourselves. You see, if you ask the Lord for forgiveness, he's always ready to clean it. But the great multitude are not such way. You see, they accumulate all their spots. Till when? Till the end of the day. They'll tell, they'll pray only in the morning, or else the next prayer will be only when they are going to sleep. In between, they don't even have that attitude of prayer also. Attitude of turning and coming to God. Always trying to maintain the holiness. They won't be having that thought and Christ likeness in their mind at all. They'll go only in the night and tell, oh Lord, thank you for everything. Thank you for this day. Okay, bye-bye, tata. I'll go and sleep because I'm very much tired. No, each and everything has to be shared with our Father. You see, who knows us better than him? So that is how the cleansing will happen. And some people are much more worse. They will come to the Lord only when? During some function, some convention, some meeting, big meeting. Christians do know. They come for Christmas, or they come for Good Friday, or New Year, or they won't come to the church at all. That is how they keep their clothes, what, dirty. Imagine if you are wearing a white cloth, if it gets completely dirty, can we wash it easily in our house? No. With a small spot, if we can clean it immediately, it will be very easy. Or else, if it keeps on accumulating, our white shirt will become different color shirt. Then how do we wash it? We usually give it for dhobi. You see, dry wash. How does he wash it? He puts lot of washing soda, put it in hot water. You see, rinse it, twist it, hit it, smash it. Until the stains are completely removed, you won't keep quite at all. That is how our Lord will do and deal with this great multitude. They will be thrown, you see, into much pain and sorrow and trouble in their life, not at the end of the great time of trouble. In their life, in the end of the life, they will be given a lot of pain. You see, how? Why? Because they need to cleanse their robe. That is why it says, they went into great tribulation and cleansed it with the blood of Jesus. Read Malachi 3rd chapter 2 and 3. Malachi 3rd chapter 2 and 3. Roshni sister or Kamal brother, can you read? Malachi 3rd chapter 2 and 3. Last book in Old Testament. Okay. Read sister. Read, no problem. Okay, somebody else can read? Sunita sister, Anil brother.
But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness.
You see, how shall our Lord come at the second coming? He shall be like a refiner's fire. So if you put into fire, what will happen? The gold will get purified. Similarly, Jesus will purify him. He is like a fuller soap, washing soda. When they will use this soap? Very terrible and very, you say, dangerous soap, no? Washing soda. Who uses it only on terrible clothes? Very dirty clothes. So similarly, Jesus will filter and cleanse the church, it seems. How? They will put into trouble. When they fall into trouble, that is the time they will seek the Lord. They will turn to the Lord. Oh Lord, I'm in trouble. Please help me. As they come, draw more and more to Christ in tribulation, what will happen? You see, slowly their mind, their thoughts, everything will change off, and they will cleanse their robe. You see, therefore, tribulations are there for everybody. But in this tribulation, how the people react, how they take it, that makes the difference. Read 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter 11 to 15. 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter 11 to 15. Rochester, can you read now? Is it okay? Okay. Munna sister, can you read?
'For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire.
You see, sister, what does it say? No man can lay any other foundation than Jesus. Upon Jesus Christ, we need to build this structure, it seems. The structure of Christ's character, Christ's likeness. Now, how do we build it? We can build with various types of materials. Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay and stubble. Imagine building a home with wood, hay and stubble is very easy, very cheap. But to build a home with gold, silver, precious stones, is it easy? No, it's very, very expensive. To need to build with gold, you need to put so much of efforts. It will cost much for you. You need to do so much of sacrifice. That is the way with consecration. If your character has to be like gold, if your character has to shine like silver, like Christ-likeness, then you need to spend more. It will cost you more. It will cost your life. It is a sacrifice to the Lord. Your life should be a sacrificial life. But to build it with just a wood hay and stubble, a very easy, simple catter which burns so easily. Some people, you know, when they are put into small trials, what will happen? Immediately, they'll fume off. They'll fire off. You see, they'll be burnt. What will be burnt? Their character will be burnt. It will only be for, sake of showing. Just for show off. They really won't have that character inside. How will it come to know? Once it is put into trouble, that is the time the real character will be very manifest. If the real genuine character likeness of Christ, it will shine like gold, silver, and preciousness. Imagine all these things you put into fire, what will happen? The wood and stubble will get destroyed. But gold will shine the much brighter. So similarly, when we are put into fire, trials in our life, we need to shine our character. We should show character, character of Christ-likeness. You see, the gold is so heated, the temperature, the goldsmith, if he sees the melting gold, his image, the crystal clear image has to be reflected in him. So similarly, when we are into tribulation, that is the time we should show our character, not when everything is good for us. So what did the Bible say? It says, every man's work shall be tested. And how God shall test it? It is by fire. You see, and the fire shall try every man's work. You see, fire will try each and every man's work. If it is really genuine character likeness of Christ or fake, it will be tested by fire. How? Continue, sir. Munaster, from where you stopped, to continue.
And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, it so as by fire.
If any man's work abide, he shall receive a reward. If he is faithful, he shall receive a reward of divine nature. To be with our Lord and rule with our Lord, sitting on his throne for 1,000 years. But if any man's work shall be burned, that means his character is destroyed, we can see it. He shall suffer a loss. What is the loss? He shall be saved, but so as by fire. That means he shall lose the reward. You see, he shall suffer that loss, but he shall be saved, not for that little flock, but for the little great multitude of brethren. Therefore, you know what will happen? During their end of the life, God will see, give you more and more years of consecration, see, to develop. But once they don't develop in Christ likeness, even after many years of consecration, God gives them to the hand and handed over them to the devil, Satan. Imagine what will Satan do us? Read 1 Corinthians 5:5. Romy, sister or Amar brother, can you read?
To deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
To deliver such a one unto Satan, it seems. God will deliver such a one to Satan. Why? For destruction of the flesh. Flesh means for fleshly character. Worldly character, all these things has to be destroyed. Once without destruction, nobody can go to heaven. Nobody can rule with our Lord. The destruction has to take place here. The little flock, they will destroy their own flesh. But the great multitude, their flesh will be destroyed by God. And that's why that is Spirit, Holy Spirit, the new creature might be saved in the day of the Lord. Because God doesn't want them to lose, you see, but they want... God wants them to be saved, but not of the little flock, but of the great multitude. Therefore, this is the destruction of the flesh, but little flock is the sacrifice of the flesh. Hence, what happened to them? What happened to the great multitude? Revelation 7, chapter 15 to 17. Revelation 7, chapter 15 to 17. Joel, brother, can you read Revelation 7, chapter 15 to 17?
Therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall free them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
You see, they shall serve him day and night. Why? Now they have not served. They wouldn't have served the Lord now. You see, they would have pretended to serve. They wouldn't have served the Lord faithfully now, dear brethren. Hence, they are standing before the throne. They have to serve the Lord there. If we would have served the Lord now faithfully, then we can reign with him sitting on the throne. You see, and what do you say? God shall wipe away all the tears. Why tears, sir? They will be in tears, sir. Why? Because they lost the crown, dear brethren. They will cry. Lord, have mercy. Please give me one more opportunity. Where can be given? Opportunity was given. But they did not use it. Dear brethren, now we have the opportunity to cry, to weep. You see, now if you cry, now if you are in sorrow, now if you are in tears, you see, God will say, okay, my son. Okay, my child. Have one more opportunity. You see, opportunity is there now if we cry. But after everything is over, after the door is getting closed, even if we cry with a lot of tears, you see, no use. God won't give us back the reward. God won't give us that opportunity again, but now opportunity is there. So, tribulation is there for everybody. It's the difference that how we take it. Read John 16:33. Ashish brother, can you read John 16:33? Okay. Anil brother, can you read John 16:33?
These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
You see? Huh? I have spoken unto you that you may have peace. Where? In the tribulation, you should have peace. It says, no, in the world, there shall be tribulation. You shall have tribulation means what? You may have, it might come. No, you shall means it is a must. You will definitely have it. But no need to worry. Don't get afraid. Don't get afraid. Be of good cheer. Have faith in the Lord. He has loved us. He has given us his son. What not he will give, you imagine. Christ died on the cross for us. He has given us everything. If we are faithful, if we ask help from him, what he will do? He will help us. He said, I have overcome the world. Don't worry, I will be with you. Till the end of the world, dear brethren. When Peter was sinking in the sea, what did the Lord do? Peter cried, oh, master, help me. What did Jesus do? Did Jesus say, oh, you are with little faith. Go, drown yourself. I can't help you. Did he say, no? Huh? He said, oh, you have little faith. He lifted his hand. Why do you doubt? So similarly, we should not doubt, dear brethren. Have faith in the Lord. Tribulations, trials, these are all not important. These are there only to test us, to prove our faithfulness to our master. How much we love our master. What limit, what extent we can go to please him. That is a test for us, dear brethren. Therefore, you see the great multitude, they lose all these opportunities. Trying to live a worldly life. Getting the robes completely dirt. You see, they will be standing before the throne. Dear brethren, we still have opportunity. Even if we cry, God will help us. So, the Lord bless these words. So,